You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
The year is 3129. Mankind is adrift in the stars. Giant spaceships hurtle the last of humanity towards their destiny, whatever it may be. Only one thing can keep them going and power these great ships, will feed the minds and spirits of these people. And that is the last brewing company to survive in the future, Circle Brewing. So great was their product that they indeed became the legendary Earth Brewers. But, you know, it's right now, 2018, or maybe 2019, depending on when you're listening to this. And you can get Circle Brewing right by going into Austin, by stopping into their brewery on Breaker Lane. Or you can get it in convenience stores where there's all sorts of good stuff. Martin, you're from the future. What do you think?
Well, I tell you, Austin is a city with no shortage of breweries, but this is some of the best I've ever had.
Well, there you go. You can't ask somebody who's going to give you a truer thing about beer than Mr. Martin Thomas, because he's an alcoholic.
OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Now, I'm not saying in my late teens and early 20s, in my punk rock days.
I thought we were going to do the whole review in voices like this.
No, we are not. I'm not saying that in my punk rock days, I didn't do some stuff I look back on with a bit of regret. There's some mild vandalism and some drugs I probably shouldn't have done. And
this isn't exactly the time you got to a fight with your lead guitarist over whose joint that was.
Right? No.
A little bit different level.
Yeah, this is on a way different level. It was funny. I had actually heard about...
Because Scandinavians.
Yeah, I had heard about this story of this film, Lords of Chaos, from a podcast called Disgraceland, where they told the whole story of the band Mayhem. And I was like, I knew there was some dark shit that had happened with the Norwegian black metal bands, but I didn't know precisely what it was. But holy shit!
So this is the movie that Metalocalypse is based on, right?
I mean,
Metalocalypse takes a lot of metal tropes. But yes, the reason that they're two Scandinavian members of Death Clock is because the prevalence of the Norwegian, especially metal scene.
Yes.
Okay.
Which has definitely become quite widespread.
True Norwegian black metal, which was the metal that like in the 80s, like the scariest metal out there was a band called Venom.
Yeah.
There's a Henry Rollins tells this great story about being on tour with them. Like every time the band members would pass by, they would go, "Hail Satan! Have you worshipped the Dark Lord today?" And they would get so fucking pissed at them.
And I mean, Venom has since admitted the whole thing was just nothing but a big put on to sell records, because of course it was.
They were kind of trying to out Slayer, and so they made their sound really, really fucking heavy and really, really satanic.
But, you know, in music, everything has to keep going down every little, tiny little thread that it possibly can until it gets to the point where it's either just a blank line going, or it's black metal.
Exactly. Or it sounds like you're barking into a microphone.
Either you invent black metal, or you end up sounding like Can or heavy or Metal Machine music by Lou Reed.
What was that? There was a style of hip hop for a while that was like all the vocals were super slowed down, all like this. I was like, wow, that's the hip hop equivalent of black metal. Anyway, I'm Chris.
Bo.
Ben.
And Patience.
And this is directed by Jonas Åkerlund, who actually
had... Did you tell them the title of the movie?
I did already. I said Lords of Chaos.
I don't think you did.
I got this one, though.
You didn't highlight that was the name of the movie. Yeah.
I did, in fact, say it was called Lords of Chaos, but in case you didn't hear me, it's called Lords of Chaos.
What's the name?
It's called Lords of Chaos.
What was that again?
Lords of Chaos.
Now say it in Scandinavian.
Now it doesn't sound right. It sounds like the words don't mean Jonas Åkerlund is interesting because he just put out two movies in the same week.
Yeah.
Polar on Netflix is also by him.
He's actually got... He is a former black metal musician himself.
Well, yeah, so although...
I think they
called it extreme metal at the time. It was one of the big influences on black metal, this band called Bathory.
Metal musicians are so fucking queen about what you call them. They're
That's
worse
very
than
true.
Punk rockers, which is saying something.
They totally are.
Which is why the joke in Heavy Trip works.
He went on from like this, you know, extreme metal to doing the video for Ray of Light by Madonna.
And he's also done a lot of musical documentaries and concert movies.
Yeah. This is like far from like, I mean, this is not an early part in his career. This guy's been doing this for a while, but this is the movie he's been trying to get together for. I think it was like 15 years. He's been saying he's been wanting to do this, and everyone understandably balked, because if you know anything about the story of this band, Mayhem,
it's fucked up.
Yeah. And in this particular,
I mean, and one of the members of the band is a legitimate straight up fucking Nazi.
Yeah.
So right. and who was you know, not in jail, strangely.
Yeah.
He's now in France.
But it centers on a guitarist who calls himself Euronymous, who is played by Rory Culkin, the youngest of the Culkin clan, who is way into this whole metal thing. And he is with a group of friends slowly sort of like adjusting and adapting and getting better until, or I mean, this is one of these things. There's no sort of rise almost. It's almost like really fast. People know who this band Mayhem is.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of,
I heard a thing that they only actually played 3 shows ever.
That could be, it could be.
In any case, it's kind of the thing where you know, if you're in a town that doesn't have a punk rock band and you're the first band to play fucking punk rock, people really start going apeshit for you.
Yeah,
because it's like, oh, all that stuff that I can only listen to at home on my stereo, now I can actually go see at least one fucking group of guys is doing it in town.
But,
and so that's kind of what happens here, and then his band Mayhem starts to develop this,
well,
you know,
yeah.
And I use this term quite correctly, cult following.
Yeah.
Well, as he says himself, is he kind of founded this style of metal music, and that's kind of why it grew so much.
Yeah.
It was
right. It's generally thought of that Mayhem was the first real band to call themselves black metal. Like,
they
developed the style.
Heavier than you would ever want to be.
I can't take it myself.
I personally, having listened to a lot of guitar-driven rock styles in my life, think Mayhem is actually kind of fucking weak when it comes to music, but... Hey, you know, if that floats your boat, it floats your boat.
I know you like metal. Are you a black metal girl?
No, actually, I'm definitely not. Like, heavy metal is probably the heaviest.
Right, you go as heavy as, like,
yeah.
Slayer, and then
yeah,
you're like, okay.
I don't go above Slayer, pretty much, or Sepultura. And even that's, you know,
pushing
I listened to, like, some Testament Metal Church back in my day, but otherwise, yeah, not so much.
Isn't Metal Church, like, kind of on the border of real metal?
Like, I like to hear the lyrics,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I hear you.
And that's exactly. Hence my joke at the beginning of this. Like, that, it's a vocal style that, you know, the styles at the time of the really extreme stuff was more along the lines of Merciful Fate and King Diamond, which is this really high-pitched stuff, and these guys, they were like, no, we're going to do it all in this fucking demon arc.
Yeah,
glottis. They barely highlight any of that in this movie. Like, Dead's one of the big characters who was, you know, the original singer. And even that's like, you actually don't ever hear the guy, like, sing much. Like, the one scene when they show him on stage is him cutting himself.
There's a reason for that, is because they don't have they didn't get the rights to any of Mayhem's music.
Fair enough.
So they couldn't actually perform any of their songs. And there is a, you know, so along the lines, because you brought up Dead, along the lines of them getting this cult following, they put out an ad for a lead singer because they really need somebody to tie the 4-piece together, and they find this guy from Sweden called Dead, who is, boy, have fun with your Wikipedia rabbit hole with this guy.
Seriously?
I did that earlier.
He had lots of problems, and he was this, you know, kind of beautiful, blonde, Norse, Swedish, Thor-looking guy who, you know, liked to collect dead animals and inhale their scent and
murder cats.
Murder cats.
I don't like them.
And like, yeah, exactly. And he would also notoriously he would bury the clothes that he was going to wear on stage so that when he dug them up, he would, you know, smell like the earth and death. And even though his name was really Pell, he went by the moniker Dead.
Played here by Jack Kilmer. And that's the point where this band
that
really starts to go from like a band that's popular to people really starting to take notice of them. And even more so when, as famously happened, this is still all in the first fucking act. Like, this guy, like, kills himself in a
multiple, like, source, totally brutal, cover the room with blood sort of fashion, leaves himself for the band to find, and Euronymous finds him and takes a picture of his dead body, and it becomes the cover of the first Mayhem single.
Well, underground release cover. And they also, he also restaged his suicide for a better picture.
You say underground release, but that was a really famous album cover. Yeah. Like, everybody in the world in rock was talking about it, and
tones. And I mean, it's purported he also ate some of dead when he found his him, brains, and then also took pieces of a skull and made jewelry out of them.
Which it also then, in the movie itself later on, doubles back and says that may not be true.
So right. It does. It takes the position it's not true, but no one really knows, I don't think. So, but yeah, ultimate badass type guy. He goes on to open a record store for black metal. They get a new lead singer played by Emery Cohen, or as you said, Young Hodor.
No, that's not the same.
Oh, is that not? Well, that's him. Yeah. That's the guy who was the new lead singer.
Yeah, that's Varg. The other.
Oh, okay.
There's another guy.
Varg is there another guy? Lead singer, the new bassist.
New bassist, yes. Yeah. But he's the new guy who's like ends up kind of coming into competition versus Euronymous for like who's really running
well,
the show.
Yeah, and when he first meets the band, he's like, oh, I really like you, and he's wearing the quintessential denim vest, leather jacket combo, and that's covered with patches, and Euronymous kind of pipes he's like, you're wearing a fucking Scorpions patch? You're fucking weak, dude.
Yeah. And the movie very highly then goes from there and says, yeah, this guy's really unstable and takes any criticism to be, I need to change drastically and become you, or at least the image of you.
Right, and that's what he does. He goes back and changes his outlook and, starts really doing his homework, and then he
basically goes fucking insane.
Right, yeah. And then he ends up coming out with an album on his own that he plays all of the fucking instruments on and does all the singing that, becomes almost as big of a milestone as Mayhem. And honestly, if you're talking about the actual Norwegian music team, is probably held in better regard, except for the fact that the guy who made it is... Well,
Varg.
We'll get into that.
Yeah, his last three albums that he did for you and ended the band, which I believe was post-incarceration, were ambient. For whatever
that
goes.
But he recorded while in prison, And
let's not get into that. Yeah. Let's get into the fact that everything turns into a big black metal showdown between these guys. Who can be the most black metal? And that's the sense of, like, this isn't just for fun, like, we're hard asses, we get in fights in the bars and fuck hot chicks. No, this is... Christian, we are real Satanists. We are the ones who believe in God and want to destroy
it. The bands that were most famous for putting out this imagery, all the way back to Sabbath, but definitely, Venom and Slayer, which were the purveyors up until that point, were all like, they're just like, dude, this is just like, we're playing Halloween. This is bullshit. This is like, the Misfits aren't actually trying to eat your brain.
Right.
We're just making stupid music.
And these guys wanted to be the ultimate representation of what all these bands were playing at, and everybody knew they were playing at, but these guys didn't. Except for arguably Euronymous. There's like, the movie takes a tack, certainly, that he was like more of a salesman, but I did a lot of deep dive with him, and like half his friends are like, he totally believed in everything he said, and the other half was like, no, this is all
Only two of his friends were like, no, he fully was marketing. I'm like, cool, it sounds like you just were trying to make it so we had a guy that we could kind of root for. We're like, okay, you're not a complete sadist to the point of, that you're a Satanist, but you're not a sadist as opposed to everyone else around you.
You're still...
And it's probably more the point of, it's just like, as you get older, you realize that, oh, all that shit that I did when I was a teenager and in my early 20s, I was completely full of
shit. Well, it wasn't so much that they were Satanists as much as they were anarchists. Right. They weren't really, like, worshiping.
Well, and they were, especially Varg was extreme. He was an Odinist.
An actual pagan. Yeah.
And extremely, the entire band was extremely anti-Christian. And if you don't know a lot about Norway... It's an extremely Christian country.
Right. And that went so far as them, unlike things I did to almost get in trouble when I was a kid, are burning down old churches and murdering gay people and doing really, really horrible fuck these people type
of
stuff.
There's also this element of like, well, you don't have a lot to worry about in Norway because, there's guaranteed school and it's, got a very benign form of socialism and, the standard of living is really high and if you want to make something of yourself, it can. And so they're kind of like, knee-jerk kicking out against this, like, fuck this, we want things to be, you know, fucking chaotic and not the lawful good society that we live in. And so we're going to go the extreme opposite and, you know, say that we're evil and, you know, pretend or not pretend that we worship the devil or Odin or what have you. And then, as you said, it starts getting into this like black metal pissing contest.
Which is funny though, because Euronymous' family is almost like, oh, isn't that nice? He has friends. He feels like his music, and his dad's like,
they sent him a bouquet when he opens his record store, which is called Helvetia, which is literally Norwegian for hell.
Which, you know,
what does that say about the font, I wonder?
Right, which I thought was hilarious, as well as the fact that it's like, you know, they have like an underground basement for like their dark meetings, and it's basically like, yeah, this is where we get drunk with all the other black metal bands. That's pretty much all it is. Which I also read, like, my favorite in the research I did, Chris, I don't know if you saw this one too, was somebody said, no, honestly, it was a really great record store. The problem was he used such little of the space and the rent was so damn high, he was an idiot. Of course he was underwater on it at the club.
I mean, which is, like I said, a lot of people tried to play it off. Like, I was just a party space. We talked big. But the fact is, these guys did some really, truly heinous shit.
And they were egging each other on. For me, it's not even that they burned down a church. It's that they burned down these gorgeous fucking churches that date back to, you know, the origins of Christianity in Norway, which are, like, you know, past the 1100s. And there's these gorgeous, like, old architecturally beautiful structures, and they're just like, ha ha, fuck you, Christ, and, you know, going in there and, you know, pissing all over the missiles and then, you know, setting it alight.
Patience, you burned down a few churches. Was this accurate?
You have to if you like metal.
Yeah, but they're Baptist churches. We're okay with
poser,
that.
I thought all I had to do was get stoned in a parking lot
and wear a black leather jacket, right?
I didn't burn it down. I raised my middle finger to one and then I put it down real quick before anybody saw me.
I actually thought about digging up some of my old metal pictures where I'm like all like I dyed my hair black.
Nice.
Did you do corpse paint?
No, I didn't.
No, that wasn't around then.
Wait. What? You don't have to age.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Kind of. Like King Diamond was definitely doing
that's true.
Style like
that's
that
true.
Too.
But it wasn't way caught on at that point.
Yeah, and it wasn't meant to, like, this is what death looks like.
Right. That was all like a big circus act for King Diamond, like, for sure.
I want to do what Kiss does, except scarier.
Well, I feel like as this goes on, you know, if you've heard the story, it does indeed and extremely dark. I mean, this, as they tell you in the beginning, there's no happy ending here. And they're right. It's not a happy ending. I think this movie is, on the whole, pretty well made and very stylish.
Sure.
But, man, I just, as always, have the hardest time getting into a film where every single protagonist is just so thoroughly despicable.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything to like about
them. And they really do their best, as Ben kind of brought up, to make Euronymous out to be
somewhat innocent.
Somewhat innocent and somewhat more attractive on a protagonistic basis.
Or just likable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the fact of the matter is, he probably wasn't.
Even here, they're like, it's barely an attempt. I mean, it helps when your actor is really good looking playing him, and there's like a little hint of a love story there as well. Like, that's, like I said, barely touched on. But I mean, he is
right. And
he is quite
totally
literally
globbed on too. It's like, look, a pretty girl likes him, and she's giving him a haircut and trying to work out the kinks.
Right. He's literally egging guys on to murder. Fuck this guy.
Yeah.
Literally, when he gets murdered, it's partially because he legitimately said to his friend, I'm going to take this guy, tase him, and torture him into a snuff film. It's like, well, yeah, you kind of asked for it at that point when you called the craziest person you know somebody you want to torture on film.
Well, thanks for turning this into a spoiler review, Ben.
Well, for anyone that watches this movie knows the story.
I never heard of the story,
really?
like the specifics of it until like 3-4 months ago.
I wanted to watch this movie specifically because I've heard the story and went down the rabbit hole a couple of years ago. I have a friend who's really into Mayhem, and he sat there really drunk one night and just like told me all about it, and I was like, Are you fucking so fucked up? It doesn't sound real.
It's like the kind of thing that if you heard about in like the 80s or 90s before there was an internet, you would have been like,
what?
Bullshit,
this is bullshit,
dude. You are so full of shit. And then, you know, 15 years later, you have a computer and Wikipedia, and you're like, holy shit!
Yeah, all the next day, I wikied it, and I was like, actually happened?
No matter what, if you see this movie, whether or not you like it, you will be on Wikipedia almost immediately after going, no.
If nothing else, you'll be doing some seriously heinous Google image searches.
Yeah, there's, which, believe me, those images are out there if you feel like seeing them.
I mean, I have to say that, you know, I've watched a lot of disturbing things, having been an us, and before that as well, but Jesus, and I guess not Jesus, but when dead commits suicide, that was fucking rough.
Or the murder of the gay guy in here is so, like, I mean, it is one of the most brutal murder scenes I've seen in a really long time.
Yeah, they don't shy away from the violence, and they also pretty accurately portray that human beings are actually pretty hard to kill.
Yeah, it's
not like in the movies where, you know, you just John Wick somebody and he's gone. Especially if you're using an edged weapon, you have to really, really have
30, 40 stabs, you know? And then the dude's just
It's a great workout, for the record.
Right.
He still stabs.
Sorry.
Yeah, why are you trying to kill me after you've stabbed him 20 times?
He's trying to get all my stabs in.
Damn it.
I have to
my Fitbit said I need 50 more stabs.
Yeah, exactly. I need to do 50 stabs a day.
Yeah, I'm trying to close these circles here, goddammit.
Usually in Norway, that's just, you know, gutting an elk, but instead,
reindeer. Reindeer.
No, all right.
Damn reindeer.
Well, let's go into final thoughts. Patience, why don't you take us there?
I was actually really looking forward to this movie, and I missed it at Fantastic Fest. So I was kind of bummed, and when the screener came around, I was like, yes, I finally get to watch it. And I really liked it. I liked it a lot. I thought it was interesting. Again, I'm a little slightly obsessed with the story just because it's so fucked up and so fucking dark. And then getting to see it on the screen kind of, like, it sticks with you. It's one of these movies that's bleak as hell, and it's a couple days later, you're still going to be thinking about it. I'm going to give it 8 hanging cats out of 10.
Why'd you have to remind me of the hanging cat scene?
I'm sorry. They weren't monkeys.
They were not.
I had more of a mixed reaction than Patience, and I'm definitely of the, you know, I found the story really fascinating, and I was very looking forward to doing this as far as, like, I really want to see how they're going to fictionalize this. And on the whole, it ends up kind of being a biopic in a lot of ways, and it suffers from a lot of the problems that I have inherently with a biopic, because you're trying to turn real life into an interesting narrative, and real life isn't like that.
Sure.
Superhero movie.
Yeah. And even though this story is really compelling, there's a lot of stuff in this that feels stitched together because they wanted to get the whole story in. And, you know, they still wanted it to nominally be, like, based on a true story and actually have, we don't want to have a guy who represents Euronymous. We want to actually have Euronymous. We actually want to have Deb. You actually want to have,
Varg,
a.k.a. Count Grushnak. And that limits stuff, and
he's the hardest guy to beat in Ravenloft.
Exactly. you have to, you know, it ends up spreading the story a little bit too thin, because you're trying to work out, you know, a way to get all of these interesting points that you want in, and yet still stitch them into a 2-hour time frame. And there are moments in this movie where I feel like they're kind of doing some interesting stuff, especially when they get, like, especially towards the end, it gets a little bit more surreal, as, you know, there are flashbacks and arguably, you know, these incidents where the main character is, you know, seeing his dead friend. And I think they could have done more with that, since that's obviously completely fictionalized.
Sure.
It has nothing to do with the truth. I almost wish they had kind of started more with that. I wish they had fleshed out some characters a lot more. Like, I've always, out of this whole sordid tale, I've always found Dead to be the most tragic and interesting character, and I kind of wish they had done a little bit more of him. And, you know, of course, there's also, on a hey, let's get real tip, Varg Vikernes is one of the most abominable people on the face of the planet, and you know, it's you know, having him in a movie and you know, be that object of the tale. And certainly this doesn't make him look good, but it does still take a little bit of a sympathetic take, and I'm just like, yeah, fuck that guy. I don't want to have a sympathetic take on him.
Right.
So, all that being said, this was, you know, it's a stew of a movie, and it doesn't coagulate well enough for me. And even though there's some interesting bits in it, I ultimately came away a little unsatisfied. And so with that, I'm going to give it seven interesting bits of jewelry that your lead singer gives you to wear.
Ben?
Yeah, definitely. Some of the surreal could have been interesting. I believe when I read that Sion Sono was originally tagged to direct this.
That would have been an
English language movie.
Although I feel it would have strayed a bit from the actual story.
That's what I'm saying. It would have gotten even weirder then, which is saying something, because, dear God, is this whole entire story insane? I still have more Wikipedia to dig through. I kind of had to stop and just be like, no, I don't need this all in my head right now. But overall, the movie, I agree with Chris. Some of it's visually stunning. Some of it's shot really well. Like, the locations that they pick just fit so well with, like, everything you picture from, like, hearing the story. It's like, yeah, that's exactly where these guys would be, or the type of, you know, the type of clubs they would play, and the type of record store they would make. But then it's also, like, yeah, you really don't like any of the characters. And most, like, you're honest, and it's largely because Rory Culkin is just a really, really charismatic actor. Like, he adds a lot to this, where even when he's at his worst, you're just kind of like, okay, you know, but you still seem like you're a guy who is at least more earnestly believing in the stuff. Because the movie does really paint Varg as a guy who just keeps falling into ideals that he starts to believe in because somebody else told him he should, or that it would make him cooler. It's probably not true, but who knows? Overall, this movie, though, yeah, it does kind of fall flat just because you don't like anyone, and also it's also a story that leaves you kind of hollow at the end, where you're just like, I don't feel like I achieved anything by watching this except for hearing one of the most deranged, you know, decades of human existence, at least, or Norwegian existence, at very least. I'm going to give it 7.5 out of 10 groupies that you just tell to take their pants off.
You know, the thing about this director that I do applaud him for, which is so hard to do, and I think it's the only level on which he manages to successfully make these guys not 1,000% despicable, is that he tries to constantly remind you how young they are, sure, how they're just dumb fucking teenagers who are super impressionable, who do the same stupid shit other teenagers do, trying to be cool, except they took it way, way, way too far. And that's the thing. There's a point you're like, yeah, but we like spray painted some shit on a wall, you know? Like, there's a difference between that and the fucking psychopath. This is the point where it just cut off for me. It may have helped if I wasn't already.
I don't know
already
about you, but I told everybody I was a communist and went to a lot of Rock Against Racism concerts. So I think I came out ahead. Fuck those guys.
It wasn't like, I feel like if I didn't know the story ahead of time, I probably would have been a little bit more just to go, wow, where is this going?
Right.
But I did already know everywhere it was going. And I do think, although it's well filmed, and I think especially Rory Culkin does a really good job in this, overall, I found it like a lot of rock biopics. It's just kind of getting from A to B to C. Right. And at the end, I was like, yeah, it was all right. It's not a movie I want to return to, and I certainly didn't enjoy the way it made me feel inside.
No.
I'm going to give it a 6.5 out of 10 Necro Butchers, because I can't believe no one has said the name Necro Butcher yet.
Necro Butcher.
Guy's actually named Necro Butcher.
Necro Butcher.
Originally it was Necco Wafer, and he changed
it. That's his given name.
That was when he was an ABBA cover band.
If you look at that guy, you immediately think Necro Butcher.
And I just want to point out really quick, and please, by all means, don't support him in any way, shape, or form, but Varg has a YouTube channel where he just sits and plays video games.
Yeah.
Of course he does. Because that's what horrible people do. Jeff.
He sits there and plays video
Herman.
He sits there and plays video games while shouting racial epithets at all the black characters.